Part 4. Recovery. He still has nightmares about it. Given, it's not yet been a year since their capture, and the whole ordeal caused him more harm than most his age could deal with, but he's for some reason always surprised when he wakes up in the middle of the night, holding his breath as if to keep his lungs from filling with water. Tonight is going to be one of those nights, it would seem. Sokka rolls onto his back with a sigh and covers his eyes with the palm of his hand. Everyone else has long since fallen asleep in their rooms, still recuperating a week after the war's end. Since then, they've been in the new Fire Lord's palace, enjoying fancy parties and sitting through grueling meetings about poverty and war reparations and the like. The stress is probably what brought the nightmares back. He's not thrilled at the prospect of dealing with them. They'd been gone for a while now, and he'd sort of been hoping that they'd just stay away. But he's not surprised at their unwelcome return. In the end, they always do come back. Rubbing the side of his face, Sokka rolls to the edge of his fancy fire palace bed, sits up and swings his legs over the side. The moon outside hangs high in the sky, glowing like the blessed orb it is, which tells him that midnight has come and gone. He heaves himself to his feet and makes his way out the door, down the stretch of tapestried and red-marbled hallway, and onto the terrace. The wind plays gently on his face. It ripples the tunic he'd fallen asleep in a few hours ago. As his eyes adjust to the new semi-light, Sokka takes a deep breath of salt air. And then he nearly chokes on it, as a voice sounds off to his side. "You two?" He whips around, grabbing around his waist for a sword that sits back in his room before he recognizes the speaker and breathes a sigh of relief. "Oh, it's you, Toph." "Scared you, did I?" He can see her smirk in the moon's dim light. "Not at all." "Sure, I can feel you puffing out your chest from over here." "Oh, ha, ha." He strides across the veranda and takes a seat beside his companion. Toph looks distinctly tiny in the oversized red and gold tunic that she uses for sleepwear. Her feet remain bare, of course, and covered in dirt from making small trails in the ground with her heels. Her head falls to Sokka's shoulder as soon as he scoots down beside her and props an arm against the wooden seat. This is normal for them, the working late at night and finding another parked outside in the light of the moon. Even the head-on-shoulder motion is just another ritual for them. What isn't so normal is the sudden desire in Sokka to tell her what he'd seen in what he thought had been his last dying moments back in the hold, whose laugh had echoed through his ears as his vision had faded to black, just before he had been spared. But Sokka holds his tongue. The post-nightmare times are generally not the most romantic. "Do you think it'll ever end?" says Toph, reaching and grasping his hand where it sits on his thigh. Sokka looks down at their hands, her pale one a stark contrast against his tan one. The gash on her arm looks like a long, thin scratch now. Thanks to many sessions of healing with Katara, his own scars look much the same, like a small mountain range of ridges and lines across his otherwise smooth skin. He shrugs. Most of the time it feels like it has ended. When they're not dealing with board meetings, the four of them screw around on the outskirts of the village, Aang practicing with Toph and Katara, while Sokka sits with Momo and Appa, sharpens his machete, and makes sarcastic quips until one of them knocks him off his seat. Just like old times. Most of the time, the only indication that anything ever happened is the montage of ugly scars that he prefers to keep out of sight. "I like to think so. I mean, I guess it'll always be there, but sort of in the background," he says in response, casting his gaze towards the moon. "Those kind of memories don't just go away. We can talk about it, at least. Sometimes, yeah." Usually Sokka can't make it very far past that first meeting with his interrogator before he needs to stop talking. He's only relayed the entire story twice, once to Aang and Piandao, and once to his father, who had sat somberly before him with his fingers clenched together. When he tried to tell Katara the first time, she'd had to stop him so she could keep her lunch down. The second time, he had been the one to end the conversation. Toph was a little better at storytelling than he, anyway, and what she had experienced was enough to satisfy the usual inquirers, to answer their questions. When it came right down to it, the only things that had changed after their experience was them. The war had been largely unaffected. Toph shifts at his poignant silence, raising her head from his shoulder and cocking it slightly in his direction, listening. "You all right, Sokka? Is it that dream again?" "No, I'm okay. What about you?" "Better now." She squeezes his hand. "A little better than I was 10 minutes ago, and a whole lot better than I was a year ago." Now Sokka does the only thing that feels like the right thing to do. He turns his head to Toph, rests his free hand on her shoulder, and places a kiss on the side of her temple. In turn, Toph swivels around on her seat with raised eyebrows. "What was that for?" she demands. baffled and leaning away from him an extra inch or so, as if afraid that he's going to try it again. Sokka can't stop a smirk from reaching his lips. I'm not sure yet. It just felt like the right thing to do. The color rises to her face, but she's smiling nonetheless. She lets go of his hand to punch him in the shoulder, and by the time she does, he's already beginning to quake with stifled laughter. You're such a meathead, Toph mumbles, trying to hide her smile behind an affectionate scowl. Sokka drapes his arm around her shoulder and pulls her closer to him once more. Toph shakes her head and rests her temple against his shoulder. Some things don't change, he supposes, as he wipes his eyes with the back of his hand. Through the ordeal, they've managed to salvage what was left of their characters and piece it back together. Together. Other things. Well, sometimes it's not so much a change as it is an adjustment. What's happened to us? She'd asked him not so long ago. Even now he doesn't know, but his fear of the future has begun to fade, as sure as the memories that blend together in the back of his mind. Sokka looks down at their interlaced fingers, and they sigh together. Fiend.